It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
You guys get bored by baseball. Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
This is Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, there's nobody I'd rather have on this podcast in the entire world than Mike Monaco. Nobody. Listen,
Rob, I can think of many people, but I appreciate you saying that.
As far as you know, as far as I know, as far as the world knows, nobody I'd rather have on this podcast. And and it's because, like, I like talking with you, Mike, whether it's on camera, off camera, you know, I don't know, in the broadcast booths, wherever it is, I enjoy talking with you. I enjoy conversing on the record, off the record, whatever it is. it's
the
good.
The feeling is very mutual.
Yeah. So, but I just said to you, like, I like this subject. I saw Dave Sims and I don't know him super well, but he's so friendly to me when I do see him. And he also said he liked our ACK podcast a lot. So they're bonus points for that. But speaking of ACK, Mike, I think you would probably feel the same way. One of the things that ACK, like, will always present us and gift us with was that feeling that he was just reacting, Dennis Eckersley, of course, reacting like we would all react. And with Dave Sims, I know that he's a play-by-play guy and was sort of a color guy, an analyst, but Dave gives that same vibe, like when I saw him. And obviously we talked about the Cal Raleigh thing and everything else, but I know this is a long-winded way of introducing Mike Monaco and saying that I want to have this conversation with you, Mike, because I do find it interesting, the big moments of how you build up to it, how you execute it, how you get better at it, what you like about it. So I'll start with this. How are you? All right.
I'm doing great. I have my Baseball Isn't Boring sweatshirt beside me, not wearing it, a little warm for that. Ooh. But so I'm doing great because I have that in close proximity. But no, I love talking about this stuff too. I'm a nerd in many ways, but I'm definitely a nerd when it comes to sports broadcasting. And I don't know Dave Sims personally, but his What a Night call, like, literally gives me chills. And that's whether they had the booth cam on him or not, just hearing the way he says that and delivers in that moment for a fan base yearning for moments like that. I absolutely love. And to your point on Eck, the example I'll give you is end of the 22 Red Sox season, Connor Wong's first career home run, Eck and I were in the booth for. And, you know, I think it was the beginning of September, not probably the most meaningful game as it relates to the standings, but it was Connor Wong's first career home run. And I called it in a way that I hope did that justice. And Eck, God love the man. He just starts like spewing the same phrase again, Connor Wong, and said something to the effect of, like, you know, he's hit a lot in Worcester, but this is a Fenway bomb. And it's like, he cares, you know, and he has had his own firsts in the major leagues before. And here he is wrapped up in the first moment in that way for, I don't know what Connor Wong was at the time, maybe 24 years old. Like, he cares that much about a 24-year-old's moment. And I think that's pretty special. And so, yeah, my viewpoint on calling moments like that, and I guess this wasn't your question. You said, how are you?
No, it's good.
But I just want to be emotionally invested in whatever I'm calling, whether it's a walk-off, whether it's the final out of a World Series game, or whether it's a September meaningless at bat. Whatever the proper level of emotional investment is, that's the phrase I keep top of mind.
So there's a lot to pick through what you said. Number one, all I can think of is how bad I feel for Will Middlebrooks.
And you told me this.
And so we were out the other night, Mike, in Fort Myers, and I told this story. And Will, I've told it to Will Middlebrooks. Will Middlebrooks, of course, former Major League Baseball player, Boston Red Sox, Philadelphia Phillies, now analyst for New England Sports Network for the Red Sox games. And I have done on TV, I've done over 1,000 radio games, but I have done 8 TV games, eight and a third. They did, for what reason, some reason, they split it up into 3 innings at a whack. Like one.
What?
Oh yeah. It was me, TC and Mike Salk, who's in Seattle right now.
Yeah.
And Jim Rice sat there the entire time. It was just a bizarre day. Anyway, that's besides the point. The first game that I was like reporter doing pregame, postgame, whatever. And they said, hey, you know, Jerry, all these games that I filled in for when Jerry Remy was sick. And this was in 2012. And they say, hey, you want to do this game? I'm like, you got the right number? And I literally did, like, at the end of it, I flashed forward to the end of it, said, okay, we'll get you your money. Like, I get paid to do this. I honestly, that's how I felt. I'm not even lying to you, Mike. But anyway, my point is that was Will Middlebrooks' first game, his major league debut. And he steals a base, and I say, what can't this kid do? And which is like, you know, I remember it, but unfortunately for Will, like, when he's keeping that VHS tape, it's like, what? Who is this? Like, I just was talking to Chris Martin about this, about his major league debut, and he pulls up a video of his major league debut. He's with the Colorado Rockies, and the first words, before he throws his first major league pitch, it's Vin Scully. It's Vin Scully. Will Middlebrooks says me.
Which, same thing for Connor Wong. Like, poor guy. He's got me calling his home run here.
No, come on. You're being so
no. No, but it is the same way of like the first moment you do have to be ready for, and you have to know how to pronounce the guy's name, you know, because you never know. Like, this could be the pinnacle of, you know, whoever it is, career. And so you do want to do it right in that moment, even if maybe you don't have a ton of familiarity with them.
Well, so this is about big moments. And I typically, what we're talking about, big moments are walk-off home runs, but you just hit the nail on the head. A big moment can be a kid's first hit, a kid's first game, whatever it is. It can be a fight on the field, you know? So it can be all of that. And you tell me, because you came up as a young broadcaster sort of doing the broadcasting thing. I have not. I don't know how this works. But when you're coming up as a broadcaster and you're confronted with that moment, or what they teach you in school, say, okay, this is what you got to do. You got to articulate it. You got to do this. You got to do that. You get in your head too much. You know, obviously in big games, I've heard people script things out, all of that. Tell me about your evolution when it comes to big moments.
Yeah. So I still do this with all my calls, but especially the big moments. Like, I go back and watch them and I take notes on what went well and what didn't go well. And I did that in the minor leagues as well. Like, I remember sitting in the booth in Fort Wayne, Indiana, having called a Tin Caps walk-off winner the night before, and sitting with the broadcaster for the Lansing Lugnuts, who we were playing, Jesse Goldberg Strassler, who has written books on broadcasting. And we just played my call, I don't know, 10, 15 times. And we talked through like all the different angles of it. And like, this was radio at the time, but like, how do you build to the big moment? And so for radio, like, I want my voice to punch through with the most emotion as the peak of the play is happening. Like whatever the apex of the play is, I want my voice to match that. So on a play at the plate, it's whatever the safe or out is. So like Abreu comes up in right field, fires to the plate, Jones around third, on the hop, the tag, the slide, and then whatever it is. Like, so building up to that moment, trying to match it, or in a home run as well. Like one of my favorite Red Sox moments I've been able to call was 2021, a September game, you know, great season for the Red Sox, a Devers home run against the Indians at the time, and to the monster in left center. And it was like a 3-2 pitch. It had been a protracted at bat. It was late in the game. I think it gave the Red Sox the lead. And so like, I think my punch on that call was like gone. And that's what it often is for me. Cause that's like, that is the pinnacle of the play. That is the apex. And so with a verb or a noun, whatever it is, but certainly with your emotion, trying to drill it. And, you know, a phrase I hear a lot, I've heard Joe Davis say this, is meet the moment, you know? So like just rise up and have a collision of your call and the moment. And hopefully, you know, you're meeting at the apex.
But the weird thing is, Mike, is that so in baseball, and I want to get into this because you do a lot of sports, baseball is the challenge of this is that it's methodical. It can be methodical, not so much now compared to 2 years ago, but it can be methodical and you're going along, you're telling the stories, you're going along and you really, unlike a lot of these other sports, there is no warning to this big moment. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I've heard from really, really good broadcasters, exactly what you're saying, is that right when you get when you're anticipating that thing is potentially going to happen, it's building up. But it's hard because, you know, that could be the wind could blow a foul ball, you know, by 30 feet and you're like, oh, my God. Oh, foul ball, you know. Yeah. So but it's in baseball, it's a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say because you have a little bit more warning, though, like that a moment is coming, you know. All right, guy gets on base and, you know, all right, now it could be the game tying run or now it could be the walk off run. So I think game situations and the pace allows for a little bit more, you know, pre-planning, so to speak, in baseball. But, you know, I guess the same could be said for, you know, let's say hockey or football, you know, based on the score that at that moment, the situation dictates a little more urgency in your call. But yeah, like baseball is very unique in that way. And you snap out of, you know, this kind of meandering storytelling, piecing the puzzle together mode into, all right, now it's game action. Like we got to call this moment. I think one of the really cool things about baseball on TV is in a really big moment late in the game, the director, who is, for those who don't know the TV mechanics, they are deciding which camera is now being shown on TV. So let's say there's, you know, 15, 20 cameras at this television crew's disposal. And they get to kind of pick, okay, we want to go really tight on the pitcher with the sweat coming down his forehead before the 3-2 pitch. Mm-hmm. So you're working in concert with them to figure out, all right, where's the drama? Like, where's the tension of this moment? And it kind of all comes together then into whatever the action is. It's why I love not just baseball, but broadcasting baseball. I love it so much.
So when you do radio, you do TV. When TV, it's the let it breathe thing, right? It's how much do you let it breathe? Do you let it, especially like we see these iconic moments in the postseason in recent years, and some guys have done just awesome jobs of really rising up to that and rising up to that in a way where you took a step back and you let it breathe, right? That's not easy. I would imagine that's not easy to do, right?
No, it's not. But I think it's just like a feel for the whole environment. And, you know, like my goal in those situations is in whatever sport, call the moment, put the caption on it. You know, that's what TV allows for in a way that radio doesn't. In TV, like, you know, the ball flies over the right field wall at Fenway and into the bullpen, and it's gone for a go-ahead home run. Like I could say, you know, that ball right field on its way and it's gone. and it's a 3-run home run, and it comes with 2 outs, and the Red Sox lead. Or I could just say, you know, to right field, gone, and the Red Sox lead. Like, you, and then just let the crowd, let the cameras, let the director, let the audio people do the work. And like, 2021 playoffs, like at Fenway, like we got people pouring beer on themselves and whatever else. Like, nothing I could say in a moment like that, not that I was calling that game, could be any better than just watching that with your own eyes and hearing the natural sounds of the ballpark.
It's so true. And then conversely, like you said, you do other sports, and Kevin Harlan, for instance, everyone has their unique styles. And like with Dave Sims, we were talking about before, Dave is, you go back to that Cal Raleigh home run. It was, there was pause and then punch, pause and then punch. And it was complemented by video. I mean, this is, and I asked, as you know, just heard, asked him about, hey, when you watched it, did it match up to how you were feeling? He said, yes, but everyone has their styles. I love Dave's style. And I mentioned Kevin Harlan. Kevin Harlan, when he does a, like, I listened to him do a football game, every play is edge of your seat. Like, every play.
Yes.
Every single, basketball, same thing. Every play is edge of your seat. You can't really do that with baseball, can you?
No. You can't. And, like, people would be exhausted by it. And you just can't possibly do it that way. It's fun for me, like, when I go from hockey to baseball, because it's like hockey, holy cow, you got to be calling every pass, because at any moment, a puck, it doesn't even have to be shot to the net. It could be a pass and it bangs off a dude's leg and it's a goal. And I always refer to it as, like, I don't want to get caught with my pants down calling hockey. Baseball, it's so different. You know, like, you know, the times where you can just be casual and just feeling it out and chilling and maybe not calling every pitch on TV and talking to Uke about, you know, getting some hot dogs between innings or whatever it is, trying to get to back into Jemai Webster's good graces, whatever it is. Like, there's time for that in baseball.
Well, and it's almost like, it feels like a hockey game, doing a hockey game would be like Will Ferrell in the debate in old school, where you just, like, after when you're done with it, I just blacked out. Like, it's just, you're just, I got to go take a nap. This is... Yes. And that must much more than baseball, I would imagine. Baseball, you know, we go out, we talk about the game, there it is. Hockey, basketball, even football. And this is one of the reasons why, this is sort of off topic, but this is one of the reasons why I think going to baseball games is the best thing to go to, because you can do all of these things. You can talk about it. You have the cannon fire that is these big moments. But doing these other sports must be much more exhausting compared to baseball.
Exhausting, mentally, like, frying. And yes, eventually want to take a nap and will just pass out afterward. But, like, you're wired, or at least I am. I'm wired after doing a hockey, or yesterday I did a football game, the spring football league, the UFL, used to be the XFL, the USFL. And, like, for 2 hours after the game, I'm still wired, because you're calling football. Every play matters. Baseball is not that way. And again, like, that's why I particularly love broadcasting baseball, because Tristan Casas comes up and it's, okay, like, how do I want to tell this Casas story in this at bat? And I want to feel it out between pitches. And when's the right time to give this nugget or talk about this conversation he and I had in the locker room, in the clubhouse earlier. So that's the challenge of baseball, is finding, you know, the right time to do something and not forcing something in either. But then it still has, you know, the big moments that we're talking about, like, they're going to come at some point. And you're still calling those in an energized way.
You know what I would like to, I was just thinking about this, cause I was going to ask you about, or the pitch clock, and you know, that's how things change. We talk about how it's impacted the baseball on the field. Well, it's impacted broadcasting too, because it's always been a storytelling medium. And believe me, I know that everybody was listening to all those spring training games on AM radio. I got so many stories cut off because of the pitch clock. I was like, and you have to realize that you just don't have it. But as a subset to that, I wonder how Vince Scully would do with the pitch clock, you know? I mean, because you and I would imagine you can appreciate, because I hadn't heard Scully, Mr. Scully, I'm sorry, he deserved the Mr. Scully call a game until I was driving to the airport from Dodger Stadium. And here's this guy, you know, obviously, I think he was at that point in his 80s or, and he's doing it by himself. And you're just mesmerized by it. You're just mesmerized by it. But I wonder, like, how, first of all, what your perspective of how he did it was, how it has changed maybe since he initiated the way that he's doing it, and how he would do with a pitch clock.
So I first listened to him playing early video games, like when I was really young, and I forget what the game was, you know, way before MLB The Show. And he was the voice of those games. And here I was, absolutely in love with baseball, like I still am. And hearing him call those games. So just like vocally, like there was a connection with the sound of his voice. And then an appreciation for who he was over time. I didn't know I wanted to do broadcasting until I was a sophomore in college. And when I figured that out, like obviously he's the guy I go to, like everyone, to listen as it relates to baseball. And I think he just inspired this whole, you know, group that has come after him, you know, probably people 30, 40, maybe 50 years older than me. Still people that came after him, and people younger than me. Like, he was the master storyteller. And so because of that, I have no doubt, and who am I to opine on this, but that he would be able to adapt,
yeah,
in a pitch clock world. But there would be less time for his stories. There's no question. The games are down, whatever they are, 25 minutes from what they were before, whatever. Well, think the
about
the is.
Not to interrupt, but think about the Kirk Gibson home run. I don't know if anyone, I know we've broken down how quick that Bryce Harper home run would have been from a couple years ago.
Right.
But, you know, this iconic buildup to the Kirk Gibson home run, you know, where he's stepping out and flexing his leg and taking his cuts and, you know.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the way I think of it now, Rob, is like, I just have to get right to it when a guy comes up. And it doesn't mean you need to be hurried and rushed. And again, you're not shoehorning stuff in, but like, you kind of have to have a plan when a guy comes up, because, all right, maybe you kind of set things up with the first pitch, but then after the first pitch, like, let's have a direction on where we're going, whether it's a stat or a story or whatever it is, some graphic that's being shown on the screen. But that's at least the way that I've tried to approach it these last couple of years with the pitch clock, whether that's in the college game or in Major League Baseball or whatever it is in games that I've called. So yeah, it would be different. No question.
Do you get a different, you've done the Little League World Series, you've done college stuff, and do you get a different energy from in those games? Cause like those games are edge of your seat, you know, the chance, the pop of the step of the dugout every single time for everything. So as an announcer, we talk about how baseball can't be edge of your seat moment all the time, because it just would be too exhausting for everybody. But those games, I would imagine, are different, where it does feel like everything is big, because for those kids, everything is big. Throwing a pitch is big, you know? Is that off?
Yeah, exactly. In the Little League World Series, it has been that way. I've done the College World Series the last couple of years for ESPN, and it's the same way. Like, you're hovering on every pitch, and it really matters.
You feel that, though?
It registers. Like, you are locked in a different way when you sit down in that chair knowing what the stakes are, and that it's win or go home or whatever it is. And there are certainly, you know, in the course of a 162 game season, plenty of moments that still feel that way. But you're right, it's not every single moment. So, yeah, at times, you know, when the game's not close, or even sometimes when it is earlier in the game, like, you're going to be talking about different stuff in a major league game at, you know, that point in the season that you just wouldn't dream of doing in a big spot in a playoff game or in a College World Series game or Little League World Series game. Because you just have to be focused on the moment.
Have you ever gotten like a note from a parent?
Yeah. Oh yeah. For a variety of things.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say.
For good and for bad.
Really? Yeah. Really. So, I mean, this is, it's not unlike working for the 10,000 circulation newspaper, you know, where you were like, hey, little Joey had a bad game. You're going to get a note from the parent.
Yep. Well, thankfully for the Little League World Series, I've never gotten a note, anything negative. I have in college athletics before from parents, which, you know, is probably a whole nother podcast episode here at some point.
Oh, I like it. Let's save that one for June.
Yeah. But my favorite one from the Little League World Series was this kid who captivated the nation from Taiwan last year, the world, I guess, of Little League Baseball at that time. He was throwing like 83 miles an hour. And we had heard from the translator that his mom, who was watching back home, was just like mortified by what she had seen on social media of people saying like, oh, check his birth certificate and commenting on how big he was. So I just made like a comment, you know, kind of in defense of that. And it came back from the translator, from her, like how much she and her family appreciated that. So yeah, like
that's
try
good.
To try to use, starting no, with the no. Little League World Series, let's try to use the platform for good. Yeah. I'm not burying a little Johnny when he goes 0-for-3 with three punchies.
It's inexcusable. No, it's good for you. Last thing is, so could you come back to big home run calls? Do you have, maybe you don't, I mean, maybe they're all morphed together. Do you have any that jump out that like, oh man, that was cool. Like that was, you know, maybe it was one that you said, maybe it was one that wasn't even on people's radar being iconic, but you remember said, man, they handled that really, really well. I don't, anyone to jump to mind?
Yeah. Of just other people who I really enjoy watching.
Yeah. Just.
Yeah.
Like the Harper the Harper home run that we talked about before, I thought that was – he nailed it. That. Joe Davis, right? Joe Davis?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought
he nailed it. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So
– and he nails, you know, pretty much every moment. I think Brian Anderson, I mean, he's a phenomenal announcer across the board, but he just demolishes big moments. I think Adam Amin, who does games for Fox in addition to – a million other, you know, sports and jobs that he has, but he does some MLB and MLB playoffs for Fox. He just has great pipes and just hammers big moments as well. There's so many guys, like Dan Schulman. I mean, just so many. But yeah, I'm trying to think of like a specific home run that comes to mind.
Well, that's all right. If you don't
have think about like the Mookie 14 pitch at bat, like, you know, David Eck calling that, like, oh, it's just, it's perfect. You know, like time to party and everything builds up to that. And they just, you know,
well,
totally
I'll give you
met
one,
the moment.
I'll give you one for, you know, that you speaking of Dave O'Brien, the David Ortiz one.
It's incredible.
It's And this is, I think that is the perfect example of what we're talking about. Like, it's not like he had this written down. If David Ortiz hits a grand slam here, I'm going to say David Ortiz three times.
Right. You know?
But I hadn't heard that because I was covering the game and then the station replayed the game and I was driving up because I don't know why I was flying out of Manchester, New Hampshire to Cleveland, or to Detroit, but I heard it at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh my God. Immediately. I was like, oh my goodness. What a call.
Yeah.
Like, so, and
it's a perfect example.
Yeah.
You're like, just to your point, like you would never script out, hey, I'm going to say it in this exact way, but like you just get consumed by the moment. And Dave, he's had a million of them, but just a phenomenal call.
By the way, I totally missed the opportunity the next spring training where I was doing radio spring training game with Dave. And the Yankees, it was at the Yankees park and they had a delay because a swarm of bees got out in left field and how I did not yell, they're killing the bees. They're killing the bees. They're killing the bees. But that's why I'm not you. So
it would have been similar in terms of its legacy
moments. Yes. All right. Well, I appreciate you as always. We solved a lot of the world's problems today. And it's going to be a great season. Already has been a great season. It really is.
Rob, you're the man. Thanks for the invite. Happy to talk anything at any time.
All right.